Good morning, folks. My name is Masala, one of the elders in the church. It is a privilege for me to share the word of the Lord with you today. As you know, we are continuing on our sermon series titled Restoration, the Transformative Power of the Gospel. And so today we're going to see a scripture from the book of Acts, reading from verse 1 to verse 5. Let's read together. Now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to learn what it is that you have for us, and we pray that you would impart grace to us and change us, that we may glorify you. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So folks, this morning we are looking at what I've titled the Antioch Moment. And we are really going to look at only one thing by way of outline. We're just looking at the lessons from a base sending church. And we're going to look at 7 lessons that we can learn from this base church, the Church of Antioch. But before we look at those 7 lessons, I just want to contextualize by way of introduction. What is about to take place here is that God is about to change the world forever. It is not an exaggeration to say that you and I are sitting here today because of what happened in what we call, that we refer to as the Antioch Moment. From its very inception, Christianity struggled in terms of self-identity. What was Christianity? Many Jews, many believers saw themselves as the true Israel, and they were trying to preach the gospel to the rest of Israel because they said this is the natural destination of the Jewish religion. And so they identified themselves and embraced all of the law, and even the ceremonial aspects of the law. And the first person, it seems to me, who tried to break through and break off and see Christianity in its own terms is Stephen. And we see his sermon recorded for us in chapter 7, where he's presenting Christianity. But the church struggled from that time forth, and it broke through really only here in the church in Antioch. What was about to happen was the greatest missionary breakthrough, arguably in world history. And in fact, it was from this church that the church itself was, the believers were known as Christians. In other words, they began to have their own separate identity, separate from Judaism. And so this is what we see. We see that Saul, who are still referred to as Saul at this moment, and Barnabas were about to launch the church into Asia Minor. If you read from chapter 1 to chapter 12, the church is predominantly around Jerusalem, Judea, and a little bit into Samaria. Not even that. It hasn't broken through beyond the Jewish people. But from chapter 13 onwards, we see these guys launching the church into Asia Minor. And from that moment forward, we see Paul breaking through even beyond that and taking the gospel into Europe. In other words, he was able to completely fulfill the Great Commission by taking the gospel to the known world. An interesting fact, for those of you who are interested in these things, is that it seems like Luke, who wrote the book of Acts for us, got saved in a town called Troas in Asia Minor, because it is in chapter 16, after Paul reaches Troas, that he begins to write in first person plural. He says, we did this and we did that. Up until that time, he's just a historian. He's just giving us what happened. But from this moment forward, he begins to write as an eyewitness to the things that were happening. And so we need to learn, if we are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, we need to learn what happened at this Antioch moment. For those of you who don't know the history of our movement of churches, is that it was planted by Terry Virgo about 40 years ago, and it was known as New Frontiers. And there are three books that I would commend to those of you who are interested in knowing our family of churches. Number one, he wrote a book in 1986 called The Restoration of the Church. Interesting that we are going through a series of messages titled Restoration. And from there, he wrote another one in 2001, and it was titled No World Worn Parts, where he was setting out the key defining prophetic words that defined this movement. But recently this year, a guy by the name of Dave Devenish has written a book called Succession or Multiplication. And in that book, Dave Devenish tells us really that by the leading of the Holy Spirit, New Frontiers moved from being a movement, an apostolic movement led by one man, Terry Virgo, to becoming a multiple apostolic spheres led by many budding and up-and-coming apostles in their own rights. And one of them is PJ, who leads the Advance family of churches. So this is very relevant for us. And so now let's look at what we can learn from the Antioch moment. Seven observations. Number one, God reveals his purposes to leaders. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, and so God speaks to all of us. We are not, there is no mediator between us and God in the name of a pastor or elder. All of us have got access to God through the one mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. But often, God operates through leaders, and this is very important today being the day that we will be praying for deacons in our church and releasing them. It is important for us to note that often God operates through leaders, and God reveals his purposes to leaders. I'm saying that God reveals his purposes to leaders because this text tells us that as these guys were praying, the Holy Spirit said. I don't think that the Holy Spirit spoke with an audible voice. We are told that there were prophets and teachers in this church, and God most likely spoke through one of the prophets. The Holy Spirit was speaking through one of the leaders. These were the five leaders of the church in Antioch. Other observations that are important here is that this was a very diverse group of leaders. We are told that in this leadership of this church, there was Barnabas. There was Simeon, who was called Niger. The word Niger means black. It's probably a darker-skinned guy. Number three, we are told there was Lucius of Cyrene. Lucius is a Greek name, but Cyrene is in Africa, in the northern parts of Africa. And we also have Manaen, who was a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. So not only were there Jews and Gentiles and guys who were mixed in terms of demographics, but they seem to have been mixed even in terms of economics and power. This guy was very close to the family of Herod the Tetrarch. This was a very powerful guy. And then we are also told that there was Saul, who was also a very, very learned person. So we see that there was incredible diversity in this church. Not only was there economic, racial diversity, there was also a diversity in terms of gifts. We are told that there were prophets and teachers. There was word and spirit. There was word and works. There was a balance, and I don't think there was competition in this church. The prophets were not competing with the teachers, neither were the teachers competing with the prophets. They understood that God had put them together as a diverse group of people so that they would model the one new man in Christ, and so that there will be a full array of gifts for the sake of gospel advance. Secondly, second observation that we need to make is that God spoke to leaders as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. In other words, these guys were not casually sitting there when God spoke to them. There was an intentionality about them. They were seeking God. They were looking at the cusp of history, and they were saying, God, what is it that you are saying to us? What is next? What have you got for this great church, this church of Antioch? What do you want to do with us and through us? And they expressed their intentionality through prayer and through fasting and through ministering to the Lord, serving God, blessing God, engaging with God, encountering God. And so if we are to really answer to our potential in God, we need to be intentional. We need to minister to the Lord. We need to call on God for what it is that He has for us. Observation number three is that the leadership changes that God commanded were very difficult. Can you just imagine being in this church with these five guys? You realize that Barnabas and Saul were the most prominent and the strongest guys in this team. Many times when churches send people, we normally send the least experienced. But this church had it exactly the other way around. They sent the powerhouse out. You would hear from, learn from chapter 11 that when the church in Jerusalem heard that there were believers, and by the way, these believers in Antioch, it wasn't really intentional. The church was scattered because of persecution. And as they were scattered, they just preached the gospel, which was natural to them. And unintentionally, the Gentiles came to the knowledge of God. And so when the word reached the Jerusalem church that the Gentiles have come to faith, they sent, we are told in chapter 11, verse 22, they sent Barnabas to go and encourage them. And Barnabas, by the way, his name is the son of exhortation. And in fact, that was his gift. He was a great encourager. And the Bible says he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And he had a gift of evangelism. And a great many people were added to the faith. If you read from chapter 11, verse 22 downwards. So he was a great blessing, a sent. And as soon as he got there and encouraged guys, and more people were coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he evaluated his own gift and he realized, I need a teaching gift. And you know what he did? He went and got the best teacher that he knew. Went to Tarsus and found Saul there. And he said to him, I need you to come and help me. And the Bible says they stayed the entire year in Antioch, teaching a great many people and establishing them in the Lord. So this was a difficult thing for the church in Antioch. How are we going to survive without Paul? How are we going to survive without Barnabas? But thank God, they were not on a survival mode. They were in an expansion, multiplication mode as they were seeking the expansion of the gospel. Observation number four, lesson number four. The leadership changes were not mainly leavings or losings, but rather commissioning, and redeployments. So what was happening here, it's not that these guys were just leaving the church, but there was a sense in which God, the Holy Spirit, possibly through one of the prophetic voices as they were ministering to the Lord, said, I have a work whereunto I have called you. And he says, you guys, the rest of you, the three, must pray for the two and release them, set them apart. There is a dynamic, by the way, in the laying on of hands. It's something that we must not take lightly. It's important that we need to do what the scripture models for us. And so this was not just guys leaving the church. These were guys who were being commissioned, who were being deployed, who were being sent out, who were being taken care of. In chapter 14, we hear that after this missionary journey with all these perilous things that happened, they came back to the base, and the base received them and loved them and continued to support them. This was not being asked to leave the church. It was being deployed, being commissioned, and being supported because you are sent from this base sending church. Observation number five. The transition at Antioch was not about survival, but about multiplication. I've just mentioned that in this book that Dave Devenish wrote, he's been leading the New Frontiers Together team, and he's also just handed over to Steve Tibbett to do this particular job. And his understanding, as a historian, as he looks at what God has done through New Frontiers Movement and through our own movement, he says the reason why it's been as successful and fruitful as it has become is that Terry Vergo refused to think in terms of succession. He wasn't looking for somebody to succeed him. He was looking for multiplication. And so we need to embrace this. We need to look at this and we need to say, God, how can you replicate what you have done here at Grace Gen? How can you replicate? How can we reach out? How can we multiply? We need not think in terms of survival. We need to think in terms of multiplication and reaching out. Observation number six, God was faithful to the church of Antioch as they went through this transition. God was faithful to these guys. I've just mentioned that in Acts chapter 14, verse 26 to verse 27, Paul and Barnabas come back. And when they come back, they give a report, and we are told that they were received by the church. Let me just read it for you. It says, and from there they sailed to Antioch. They've now completed their missionary journey, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples. So it is showing us that this was not being thrown out of the base church. This was a commissioning. They've now come back. They are received. God has been faithful to the church. The church itself has survived. They had sent out these great missionaries, and these guys are coming back with a great report of what God had done. If you look at church history, you'll find that after 70 AD, remember there was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and when that happened, the church in Jerusalem for a moment was finished. It never became a strong base church. and the headquarters, as it were, shifted to Syrian Antioch. Antioch became the leading church, and God raised two other base churches, one in Alexandria in Egypt, and then progressively in Rome. And God raised these three centers of Christianity in these places. And we know one of the two giants that came from that church in Antioch would be Ignatius, one of the church fathers, and Chrysostom, who his name means golden mouth, because he was such a great orator and a great preacher of the gospel. So God was faithful to this church. And lastly, I want to say, God will be faithful to us as Grace Generation Church if we would learn from this Antioch moment, as we would learn to not be on a survival mode, but to be on a multiplication mode. If we look at the Great Commission, as we would desire to see our whole world reached with the gospel, as we commission and deploy and redeploy and release people and continue to support and encourage those people after we've let them go. As we continue to embrace diversity, this church was birthed, I think, about 25 years ago. It's three churches, diverse churches, English, Africans, and Zulu Church, came together with a massive declaration of one new man in Christ. As this church came together with the Spirit that said, we want to see the Word of God being preached, but we also want to see the Spirit, Word and Spirit, together, being open to the gifts of the Spirit, Word, Spirit, but also life, as we do life together. I believe God will be faithful to us. And lastly, I just want to use the words of PJ, where he challenged us, and he was saying, God, please, do it again. Do what you did in the book of Acts through us. I want to ask you, how many book of Acts do you have in you? It took a span of 30 years for these guys to do what they did, to reach the entire known world. How many book of Acts do you have? How much do you have in you? I want to encourage you, give yourself to the Lord. Have a great ambition for the Great Commission. And God will do great things through us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.